Praise the Lord. Well, I guess it's my turn, huh? Well, let me run down and grab my tablet real quick. Thank you, sir. Well, praise the Lord, church. Why don't we stand here real quickly? Again, it is such an honor and a privilege for us to be here. Thank you. Amen. As we were singing and worshiping, amen, and I was feeling what I was feeling, I have hit the old age of 32 years old as of November last year. Okay, sorry. And in my young age, I have come to realize that with each year, I become a much more deeper lover of the presence of God. Whether it was this morning when I was alone in the EQ praying, talking with God, or whether it was here in the moment of worship. Oh, how I love His presence. I love His presence, and I love being able to go anywhere and see people worship and dance and pray and just be in the presence of the Lord. What a privilege and an honor it is. And in our field, amen, we spend most of our time going to new areas. So we spend most of our time introducing people to the presence of God. And oh, there's nothing like it. Oh, there's nothing like it. There's not the stories I could tell. I'm sure you guys are used to them, but oh, I could tell about people who experienced it for the first time, were radically changed. And they radically changed their villages. They radically changed their neighborhoods, their families. Amen. And I am extremely grateful for what I feel. Truly, I have stepped into the apostolic church this morning. Amen. I invite you to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 5. I give honor to your pastor, the pastoral team. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here, to the leadership in this church, to the servants in every role, from the greeters to the teacher this morning to the worship team. Thank you so much for what you do, for ushering us into the presence of God, for serving the kingdom of God. I am extremely grateful today to be here. Thank you for allowing us to stay in your EQ, for allowing us to rest, all these things. We are just so honored, amen, to be a part of the kingdom of God in whatever role. I started off cleaning bathrooms, amen. I loved serving the kingdom then, and I love it now. And so I'm extremely grateful. As my wife said, there's a table back there. Please stop by at the end of service. Take a piece of us with you. We are so close to being able to get home. I got messages this morning, or 1:30 this morning, where they said, Brother Garcia, when are you coming back? And I said, give me 2 months and we'll be there. If the Lord moves upon your heart, please stop by there. Help that number of 29 go down. We believe we're done. We're done. We will make it home on time. We have so many things that are waiting for us. Amen. And we're just excited to get back. So stop by after, chat with us, and we will look forward to meeting several of you. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. And it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsy and that were lame were healed. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. And there was great joy in that city. I believe this morning I'm going to mandate from the Lord. For the next few minutes, I want to speak on the subject, a city of joy. A city of joy. Why don't we set our Bibles down and we ask the Lord to touch us in this place. I believe that if we have just a little bit of expectation in this house, God is going to do something in the next few moments. If you came with a need today, I'm saying today is your day. I came in rebuking all doubt. I came in rebuking the voice of the enemy, all fear. Today is the day. If you have a need in your body, today is a perfect day for the healing, God. Amen. If you need to be set free from some things, today is a perfect day. If you have not been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, today is a day. And I know there's a baptismal tank somewhere in this building. Amen. Today is a perfect day. Why don't we ask the Lord to touch our minds? Lord, we come before your presence, God. We have lifted your name up, God. We have given you an offering of praise and of worship, Lord. And right now, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, I ask that this place, Lord, would become a place, Lord, where we would see seeds being planted in these next few moments, Lord, that you would begin to water, that we would see an increase, Lord, in the Spirit, God, begin to move in every mind and every heart, Lord, whatever the need is, whatever the desire is, God, whatever we have walked in through these doors looking for, Lord, the answer is you, Jesus, today. God, we ask that you visit us in this place. We are believing for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit today, God. This indeed will be a city of joy, Lord. We praise you, God, and we magnify your name. We magnify your name. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your way, Lord, in this place. We're going to have fun today. Amen. You may be seated where you are at. Hallelujah. We have had the privilege of spending, amen, the last year of our lives in the wonderful nation of Bangladesh. Now, I've had a brother come up to me earlier, and he asked me the question that I ask each and every congregation. If you know where the nation of Bangladesh is on a map, would you raise your hand? Okay, we got a few. We got a few. Good, good. When the Lord called us to missions, and specifically to the nation of Bangladesh, one of the first things my wife and I did was go grab a map, because we did not know where that was. If you look on a map, amen, and you see the nation of India, right next to India, you'll find the nation of Bangladesh, formerly known as East Pakistan, amen. It is a Muslim-majority nation. It is a nation that is not known for a lot of things, amen, but that nation is best described by my wife and my daughter and myself as home. It was home to us on day one, the moment we stepped foot on the ground, and I woke up to the sound of prayer, to the call of prayer, amen, the Islamic call of prayer in the morning, about 4 a.m, I woke up. And I knew we were in the perfect will of God. You did not have to convince me about loving those people. You did not have to convince me about beginning to do what we would then do for the nation and for those people. Amen. We knew we were in the perfect will of God. And so today we come bringing, amen, great news of all that the Lord is doing and has done while we were there. If I may quote our Lord in Matthew chapter 11, when John is questioning on if Jesus is the one, Jesus responds, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." We are here to report to you this amazing apostolic church today, what we have seen and what we have heard in the nation of Bangladesh, and that is that the deaf hear, the sick are healed, the lame are walked, the captive are delivered, amen, and the good news is being preached, amen, in the nation of Bangladesh. Amen. Jesus continues to sit on that throne, and he continues to do a mighty work, amen, in the nation of Bangladesh. Bangladesh, amen, is a field with a great harvest, and we have the privilege to play a small role in what is happening there. But boy, are we excited about the promise that God has given that nation. That is a promise of a 1 million soul revival, and each and every week we are seeing it come to pass. Amen. Now, I don't have enough time today to show you everything that has happened in Bangladesh, but what we do have for you is a small video to show you all that the Lord is doing. So if my sister back there would push play on that, amen, and we would take a look at what's happening. Such an honor and a privilege to be a part of all that God is doing in Bangladesh. Amen. We come with the report that after the last year of our lives, we have seen hundreds healed in the name of Jesus. We have seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds baptized in the name of Jesus, and over 1,000 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have seen 10 Bible school students graduated. We have planted churches. We have seen church buildings built. Amen. God is doing an amazing work in the nation of Bangladesh. It does not concern him that it is a Muslim majority nation. It does not concern him, amen, that we are a minority in that nation. He said if we were willing to go, God would do it. And for the past 35 years under the leadership of Brother and Sister Corbin, God has been doing a mighty work, amen. And we are just so excited about getting to go back home, amen, and to continue what we have been able to be a part of there, amen. When I hear the word city of joy, immediately in our passage of scriptures, I would not think of the area that is known as Samaria. I would think of what we would probably jump to conclusion and say, okay, if there were to be a city of joy, it would most likely be Jerusalem or maybe Judea, that we would give that definition, that word, to and apply it to, amen, one of these two areas. But this description of a city of joy, amen, this title is given to Samaria. It is well known that it is a place that was despised and their people were hated or avoided, or they were looked at in a certain way and they were ignored, at least by the Jews of that time. But it is right here in Samaria, with the descriptions that I had just given of it, that we find great joy. I am grateful for the rich history within our scripture where God chooses things and people that others would say it cannot happen through those people, and it cannot happen in those areas. Amen. That God cannot possibly use that individual. Amen. And that God cannot do anything, amen, in that area. Or as we famously read, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But it is places like Nazareth and Samaria that God chooses to do great things in. Now, in our scripture, we see that it is Philip, amen, who ends up in Samaria. I can almost guarantee that Samaria was not his first choice. Amen. We know all about first choices today, whether it is our first choice of where to eat, our first choice of what to wear, or where to go. We know that in this situation, he was not probably thinking, that's where I'm going to end up. But Philip went anyways. We find him rolling up his sleeves, getting over his preconceived ideas and thoughts of Samaria, and he obeyed the words of the master, which was to preach the gospel. Amen. And he preaches it as the Lord is leading him. Amen. But we don't just jump to Philip in Samaria today. That is not where this story just magically begins to happen. Amen. It is not a coincidence today that we read in the scripture that he goes to this specific field. You see, there was a need that arose in the early church. Amen. And there was a need that needed workers and needed servants. And so just a few chapters before, we find that there is a decision that is being made. And it was decided in Acts chapter 6 that 7 men would be chosen to attend what is best described as the food distribution ministry. Now, Stephen, who would be numbered amongst those he is well known, amen, but we also find Philip amongst those 7 men that were chosen, amen. According to Acts chapter 6 and 3, he had to be a man of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom, amen. And so we see, amen, that we want to see great joy in our cities. We want to see the miracle signs and wonders. We want to see the revival. Amen. But if I am going to talk about Philip and his particular story, I must understand that before that we arrive to the city of joy being mentioned in scripture, and before we arrive at the great wonders and works that God does in Samaria, that Philip had first proved himself worthy, first in his character and in serving in his very first role. Church body today, do not think it's some small, amen, when you are given a task by the leaders in this church, amen, or when God calls you to a specific area that may not be on this platform or behind this pulpit, amen. Philip was serving way before he ever stepped foot into Samaria. He was called to serve way before he saw the great revival that happened in Samaria. I remind this church today that if you want to see miracles, signs, and wonders, amen, then I present to you an anointed, spirit-filled example in Philip, that before he was praying for the sick, Philip was serving in the church. Before he was seeing, amen, devils cast out, he was serving in his church. And before he was preaching to the multitudes in Samaria, and before there was great joy in that city, Philip had proved himself by serving in the church. I remind every young minister, aspiring minister of the gospel, whatever your desire or role is, get a burden for serving in your church. Amen. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he proved himself in his character and in his ability to say, I'm okay where God needs me, and I'm okay where my church needs me. And so we find himself shortly after making his way to Samaria, and the work begins. Again, this was not the popular choice, amen, of the disciples to go and minister, but it may have been Samaria, but regardless, he begins to preach and to teach that Jesus is the way. It may have been Samaria, but the signs and miracles still came. It may have been Samaria, but people still were being delivered and they were being baptized. And so then we come to the phrase, and there was great joy. I am extremely grateful today, amen, for men and women, families, and young people who have decided in their spirit that wherever the Lord shall place them and wherever their feet may go, that they will see great joy in their cities and in their communities and in their families, and that they begin to share the good news, amen. It is God's will today, church, that our cities would be cities of joy. Let me say that again. It is God's will that our cities would be cities of joy, that the good news would be preached. I think sometimes we forget about, amen, the power that is in the gospel of Jesus. Amen. It is the power that changes lives. It is not me. What you saw happen in that video was not because of my talent, my last name, or my upbringing, but it is because I went carrying a message that continues in power and truth. Amen. I have stood in the midst of villages that have been dedicated to idols, amen, of the thousands. I have stood in the streets where they are flooded, amen, with men who have come out of their holy places of mosque, and they claim that they follow the one true God, but still to this day, Jesus is the only one that is still alive and on the throne, amen. He's still answering my needs, amen. He's still changing lives. He's still revealing in himself, amen. Every idol I have seen, every shrine I have walked by, those gods made of wood and of stone, they don't talk back, they don't hear, they don't know a thing about me. But when I go talking about Jesus, amen, I can look them in the eye and say, he knows your name, he knows where you come from, he knows where you're going, amen, and he is alive today. Church, the gospel is all that we need today to be able to see a city filled with great joy. But it begins with somebody with a burden. Oh, that we would find ourselves in our altars again for a burden. Amen. Far before I had a burden for Bangladesh, I had a burden for my own people. Amen. And far before I had a burden for my own people, I had a burden for getting to know the voice of God. Amen. And getting to love him. We need to remind ourselves that we must be hungry. Amen. To see these great cities of joy, we must have a burden. And with the boldness to say amen here today, that there would be revival in Samaria. Philip knew it, and he understood his message. The past year, We have been blessed, amen, by our supervising missionaries to be assigned to the district of Dhaka. That beginning opening video where you saw all those buildings, that's just a small portion of Dhaka. Amen. Dhaka is a place of almost 24 million people. Amen. And at the time that we arrived there, there were zero churches within the city limits. It's zero apostolic churches. Amen. And so we arrived, my family of three, to the city of 24 million people. Amen. With so much work to do. Amen. Our hands were full. And when first looking at the task that lay before us, you could say that it was easy to think this is going to be hard. You could say, oh man, that's going to be rough. Good luck. Amen. A family of three, 24 million. But that was not the case. We immediately begin to dive into prayer and into fasting. We begin to do prayer walks. Amen. We begin to hand out candy to children. We would begin to start conversations on the side of the road. Amen. And we would begin to pray for the sick as we were coming upon them. Amen. And at the end of it all, we were able to say that the Lord did a mighty work. Amen. As by the time we left Bangladesh, we had seen 14 different Bible studies going all around the capital district of Dhaka. That might not be a lot to many people. It's not a lot to me. But that shows me that regardless of how big the giant was before me, amen, I got there with apostolic authority. And I knew who my God was. And I knew that there was a need. And I knew that the gospel still works. And so we walked the streets proclaiming the name of Jesus, something I never thought that I would be finding myself so doing each and every time I stepped out of my door. We received dreams and we received visions and direction from the Lord concerning our beloved Dhaka. And on September the 3rd, amen, of last year, of 2023, we held our very first Bible study in a place called Uttara within the capital district of Dhaka. And Uttara, the word, translates to the answer. The name means the answer. Little did we know, amen, that Uttara would be the answer to many prayers, amen. The Lord would begin to speak to us in 2024, telling us that the first church that would be planted within the capital district of Dhaka would be in Uttara. And so we immediately began to work in that community more focused and more honed in, amen. We did dinners and house visits. We did family services where they honor, amen, the patriarchs and the matriarchs within their family. We immediately got to work and we got to know our sector 12 of that community. And we saw two Bible studies begin to go hand in hand within the Uttara district. Amen. And so we fast forward to March 29th on Good Friday. And there was a Bible study there that was continuously going since September in Uttara. And on that day, it finally became the first home church that we were able to plant. You can show that first picture, my sister. You see right there, it was such a big deal to that community, amen, that they went and they said, we got to go get a cake, amen, because this is something that is worth celebrating. So I picked up a cake on my way to the very first service, and they said, we need to take a picture, and we need to do a ceremony, amen. Where there was no light, amen, the Lord allowed a light to begin to burn, amen. And now Uttara has a church, amen. God said Uttara would be the answer, but what you're carrying in your spirit is the answer. And he said, I want you to begin to walk in that, and I want you to begin to move in that. And so we believe this day with all of our heart that this is just number one, amen, of many that's going to come. We are going to see great joy in the district of Uttara and of Dhaka, Bangladesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our first service there in that picture. Hey man, we were, most people won't know at first glance, but in our very first service, Pastor, we had two Muslim visitors Come on now, church. I know Islam is not as big in the States as it is in other places, but that's a big deal. Amen. The gentleman on the left with the red Punjabi, amen, and the young lady, or the lady on the right, amen, with the orange orna that's over her head, amen. Two Muslim visitors on our very first service, amen. We got to the end of that service, my brother, and I said, is there anybody in here that has a need? And that little sister timidly raised her hand, and she said, I do. Now, I know we might not know much about Islam, but there's some big no-nos that's taking place. Number one, she is there without a husband in the midst of a Christian gathering. No, number one. In the wrong nation, she's in trouble. She's immediately in trouble. Number two, she's a woman. Again, that's a no-no. Number three, she's talking to me, a male. That's a no-no. Number four, she's talking to me about Jesus. There's a lot of no-nos going on here. I thank God for the liberties, amen, in this nation of Bangladesh to be able to have. So I said, sister, I said, what's your need? And she walked to the little front of the area, and I can tell, Pastor, she was walking with a little bit of a limp. I can tell she was in pain. We all were able to notice. And so I said, sister, what is your need? She said, I have this, this, and that. And I said, I'm in constant pain, and I'm not allowed to walk straight. And I looked her in the eye, and I said, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? This is the next no. This is the next no-no. Because to the Muslim, to our Muslim neighbors, Jesus is only prophet. He is not elevated. He's respected. He is honored. But he's not elevated anything more than the role of a prophet. So for her to say, I believe Jesus can heal me, number one, puts her on a next level higher than that of a prophet. One, because they believe Jesus is dead. So if he's not dead, then he's alive. And if he's alive, why is he alive? Her uttering her answer that she's about to give, amen, is a problem, amen. And there was another Muslim gentleman that was there. He's smiling for the picture, but he wasn't smiling throughout this whole thing yet, amen. And so I asked her, I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And she looked, and she pondered for a minute. And I knew she was thinking about the answer that she was just about to give me. And finally, she just looked up, and you can tell my sister was desperate. And she said, I do believe Jesus can help you. I said, all right, lift your hands. And she lifted her hands in that little living room, and we begin to lay hands in the name of Jesus, amen. And I can immediately begin to rebuke all pain, amen. And I said, 15 seconds of prayer. And I said, sister, I said, you just begin to walk. And she began to walk, and she didn't notice at first, but we noticed. And so we started worshiping, but she wasn't walking with a limp anymore, but she was looking for the pain. And when she realized she wasn't looking for the pain, she looked at her legs and she's like, I'm walking straight. We begin to worship God in that little living room right there. Amen. She was witnessing the power of the only living God. Amen. That he is not just a prophet, but in 2023 and in 2024, he is still healing our needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've come to tell somebody today that there was joy in that little living room right there. Amen. Because we made a place where God can move in our midst. When she realized what had happened, Pastor, she ran to the kitchen, amen, and she put her face to the ground, and she began to praise God, amen. We didn't hear what was going on, but we had watched her do it, amen. She was giving Allah praise for what had happened there, and she was just so moved with emotion, amen. And I said, sister, come back on in, and she came back in wiping her tears with her orna, and I said, sister, I said, what do you feel? She says, I don't feel nothing. And I said, sister, can you tell me who just healed me? And she said, Jishu healed me. She said, Jishu healed me, which is Bengali for Jesus. She recognized that day, amen, that there was something different about these Christians, amen, that came into that living room, and they met her, and they said that Jesus holds all power and all authority, and he demonstrated it right there. The midst of her life. Amen. It is God's will that Uttara be a city of joy. Amen. Just like it is God's will in this place today that it would be a city of joy. Amen. Because God is doing mighty works and lives are being changed. We saw great joy in another small town of Ghazipur. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, when it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among this people." What happened in Ghazipur, I describe it as a book of Acts. Now, everything we do is book of Acts, okay? Everything. But this one just felt like a page out of the book. And so I had received a phone call. And they said, "Brother Garcia, do you want to come to Ghazipur? There is a lady who attends, amen, a different church of a different denomination. She's asking for a Bible study. Amen. She wants you, your family, to come and to give this Bible study." And I said, "Sure, let's do it." And so we drove the 45-minute drive through Dhaka traffic. 45 minutes can easily become 4 hours. So we were, the hand of the Lord was over us because we did not hit that traffic. And so we got there and we get to this home, and it's a little tin home. Amen. Humble little tin home with the bed. And they brought one chair from down the road so that they could honor me with the seat. Now, I don't need none of that. Sit me on the floor. I'm okay. But they decided to bring all that, and they brought in snacks, and they brought in milk tea. Amen. They don't drink a lot of coffee over there. They drink milk teas. And the British got there first, so they don't call them cookies. They call them biscuits. Every church I mention that, everybody laughs. It's funny. So now biscuits, there's a whole nother game. I say, I like an Oreo and a cookie every now and then, but a biscuit? Come on now. They know what they're doing. I'm sorry. They know what they're doing. And so they bring us tea and biscuits, and we begin to eat, and we begin to fellowship there. And as I'm preparing to give the word that God had given me for that night, a sister comes in, and they ask, and they conversate, and they ask me. They said, "Brother Garcia," said, "there's a man down the road, a friend of ours, who had a seizure. And in his seizure attack, amen, he was injured, and he is with lots of pain. And they have asked us to come and to pray. They know you're here." I said, "Sure." I said, "We'll get to the Bible study in a minute." And so we begin to travel. And as we're traveling, again, you put a beard on me, and I love wearing the Punjabis. So you put a beard and a Punjabi on me, I blend in. I blend in. Now, I'm very light to be a Latino, but I can blend in. Okay? My wife, on the other hand, she does not blend in. And so the moment we stepped out the door and we're walking the alleyways, everybody's looking. Because there's a foreigner here. And I'm holding the baby in the bag, and they say, "This foreigner has a servant with her." Everywhere I go, they think I'm Madam's servant. I'll be going to the groceries. They'll have the basket, and they'll give it to me, and they'll hold it, because I'm usually carrying the bag, you know, to make it easier on my wife. And so they always think I'm the manservant, you know, to this madam from faraway land. So they're taking they want to take pictures of her, and they're taking video, and They're doing all that. And so we've created a big commotion of what's going on. Everybody's looking. So we get to that house, and I see the gentleman. And the gentleman, he's patched up. You can see where he's hurting. And then we sat there, and they brought out milk, tea, and biscuits again. And they gave us some more to eat. And then they said, "All right, can we pray?" I said, "Yeah, let's pray." And so he was there. I asked him to sit down. You can tell he was in a lot of pain. And I said, the same question. I said, "Do you believe Jesus can heal you today?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "I'm going to lay hands on you, and God's going to heal you. And you're going to go to the doctor. Whatever's causing that, you're going to see that it's gone. But we're going to pray for your pain right now, too." And so we begin to pray in Jesus' name. It was my wife, myself, our daughter, and our translator. Amen. Three apostolics just in that living room. And there were some other people that had crept on in. That's one of the ladies who had invited us to this house. And so we begin to pray. And in the name of Jesus, I command, I begin to speak against all pain and the sickness. And amen. And we just begin to feel the Holy Ghost in that room. And I lifted my hands and I said, "All right, brother, what do you feel?" And he began to move where he was all sore, where he had hit his head and everything. And he said, I don't feel the pain anymore." And I said, "All right." And I said, "Who healed you?" And he said, "Jesus has healed me today." I said, "You trust in him. And when you go to the doctor, amen, you are going to receive the report, amen, that God has ordained as of this day for your life." Amen. We begin to give him glory, and we begin to give him honor in that little room. What I had not noticed is the sister who had first came into the Bible study house and invited us to that home, she slipped out. I missed it. She slipped out. And by the time we were done talking in fellowship, she came back in and whispered to the lady that we were with. And she said, Pastor, he says, I know you're busy and I know we have the Bible study, but we've just received another invitation. Do you mind coming to this home? And I said, sure, let's go. And so we walked out again and began to walk down the streets. And as we're walking down the streets, amen, there they are again. They pull out the selfies, the guy with the bags, all the whole process all over again. And so we get to the little house, and there's a couple of women there, about three of them, and you can tell that they're in some pain. Now, in Bangladesh, giving birth is not as pleasant, amen, as it is in here in the States or in other places. So majority of the women end up being with major back pain and other pains in their hips and their legs, and it's a sad process. It's bettering, but it's a sad process. And so we sat there, and they were sitting there, and we began to say, okay, what are we praying for? And the first lady came up, and she said, I can hardly bend. She said, my back is in always so much pain since I gave birth. And I said, all right. And I asked my wife, I said, well, come pray. I said, because God didn't just call me to missions, and I'm not the only one anointed. I said, you get in there. And she began to lay hands, amen. And I said, it's your turn to serve. Come on now. And I said, lay your hands on that back. Lay your hands on that back. And then she began to say, in apostolic authority, she said, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command all pain to go. And she said, get up, sister, and do something you couldn't do before. And she knew exactly what she wanted to do. And she bent down and touched her toes, amen. And she began to cry because she realized that Jesus had just healed her, amen, in that little room. And so we just played musical chairs. The next one sat down, and she had issues with her legs. And again, we prayed, and she was healed. And the third one, and she was healed. And we just begin to give God all the glory and all the honor, because in that little home, he began to do a work. What I didn't notice was that same little lady. She's watching what happened, what's going on. She runs out the door without me noticing. But I see her come back in. I said, okay, I see what's going on here. And she said, Pastor, can you come to another house, please? Please, I have some friends. And so we go to this house. You can show that next picture, sister. We go to this house. You can see we're crammed in right there, and it's me, my wife, and my daughter, amen. You can only see one half of the room. It's not very large, but there was plenty of more people on the other side, amen. We got to that house, and amen, and there was a few people that were sick, and so we began to lay hands, people with heart issues, people with pains in their shoulders and inability to move arm. I mean, all kinds of things. And so one by one, they begin to take turns in that chair, amen, and we begin to lay hands on the sick, amen. After the first person, that lady, I don't know what she did. She just went out and began to knock doors, because for the next 45 minutes, amen, we had a line going from that chair all the way outside. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. And the only thing I can do is demonstrate the goodness of Jesus. For 45 minutes, the Lord began to heal every need, amen. I didn't ask them what church they go. I didn't ask them what God they served. I said, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? And they said yes. And my God, did he begin to do a mighty work in that room. For 45 minutes we began to see, amen, a mighty apostolic move of the Holy Ghost, amen. And we can say that there was great joy in that city. Now, that little lady didn't have to run out this time, amen, because up came the local Baptist pastor, and he said, I've been hearing all night about what's been going on. He said, would you mind that if I open my church doors, would you begin to pray for the sick and that would enter into our church doors? I said, sir, where is this church building? Let's go right now. We made our way down the street, amen. They opened those church doors, and the sick began to come in, amen. We begin to lay hands on anybody and everybody, whether it was his own wife or that Baptist pastor, and he washes. We laid hands on the sick, and we showed about the goodness of God. When I talk about cities of joy, amen, I can go to Samaria, but I'm intentional today that if I'm stepping foot somewhere, amen, I'm going to do my very best so that when I'm there and when I leave, it can be said that it was a city of joy. There will be an apostolic move of God wherever I can go, if I can do whatever I can to make sure of it. Amen. Our musicians can come. I can spend all day talking about cities of joys, but I'm going to end with one more. We had the opportunity to enter into another nation outside of Bangladesh. Now, I know you guys are not new to this, but there are areas in our world that are referred to as access challenged nations, which simply means it's hard to get in, it's hard to have a work, it's hard to do. And then many of those access challenged nations have no reps. And I'm going to, these next couple of pictures, sister, they're the ones that we can't show on live stream. So, this nation that we entered to is not, and because we're on live stream, I'm going to have to give this story with a twist, but this nation is not an access challenged nation, but it is experiencing heavy persecution. We can't openly talk about the ministry that we do in that nation. And so, we entered in this nation and we quickly realized that it wasn't Bangladesh. It was completely different. And so every block that we walked, we would see shrines to different gods, different idols. Very different from Bangladesh. There were idols in every car. You would feel the burden of idolatry. And I think unless you're in those places, you really don't know what that feels like. And so it took a toll on several of the members of our missions team that day. We can feel the oppression everywhere. But regardless of what we felt, because God is not limited to what we feel, we are proud to report that we were able to hold the conference, again, without giving too much details, of its very first kind, as you see in this area of this nation. People gathered from all over to worship King of Kings. The name of Jesus was proclaimed over the city. They received healing on such deep levels, and you can see who's in those pictures without me mentioning gender or race or anything, but you can see there were such deep levels of healing in their bodies and in their minds and in their spirits. And God delivered many from spiritual strongholds, and many were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a praise went up that I believe that day laid a foundation for the following generations of that gender. Oh, you can see them united, hand in hand, worshiping God. They knew what they were doing, that if it was going to be the first, it was going to lay a foundation that would shake the next generations. And so there was a shaking in the spirit. And we saw great joy in that city. After that, we were able to go to a village. We were split into some teams, and we were able to have church. You can go to that next picture, sister. And so as we began to minister, we saw that there was great joy in that city. We arrived, and they packed out both houses where we were at, or both places of worship. And we witnessed that there was great joy in that city. We arrived with all the good news that we could carry in our spirits and every drop of anointing that we could receive for the Lord, and we begin to minister. Amen. We begin to lay hands. We begin to see. And there was great joy in that city. I am telling you today, church, be encouraged today that if it can happen in a place where persecution is happening to those folks right there, amen, it can happen here today. If it can happen in this community, amen, here, it can happen in this community. If it can happen in the midst of these families, I am here to remind you that it can happen in your families as well. I wish today that faith would explode about what I'm talking about today, that there we would begin to receive vision of what God is wanting to do in our midst. Oh, I believe the Holy Ghost is talking to a few people today. Why don't we stand? There's something special about this city, though. The reason why I'm sharing these pictures, and I'm not going into too much detail, but there's something special about that city where we were in. And a lot of people don't know this, but this place holds a special name and its meaning. And I didn't know this when I first went in, Pastor. We're ministering, and the Lord laid this message on my heart a long time ago. Because I love Philip's story. I love what he's about. I love what he's doing. I love everything about this man that I find in Scripture and about what God is doing through him. And so I had this title. I get sermons and titles, and they sit until the Lord reveals them to me. And so we're there, and I begin to look into it, and I begin to hear about this city and about its name. And they begin to tell me what the name of this city means. And the Holy Ghost just hit me where I was at. That little city where we were in, that's under persecution. We saw the mighty move of the Spirit. The name, the meaning of the name of that city is called the City of Joy. I might not have liked what I felt when I got there. It might not have felt like Bangladesh. It might not have looked. I might have been turned off about what I was looking at, the idols and about everything that did not appeal to me. But when I was okay with just being where I needed to be and taking authority where I needed to take authority, amen, then I began to click in into what God said. You don't have to worry about the details. I don't care about your feelings. You just do what I've commanded you to do. And far before I saw the great city, amen, a city of joy happen, it was already named a city of joy. I've come to tell this congregation today that far before you ever step into what you are thinking is going to happen or what you want your ministry to be like, the Lord is saying today, I've already destined for it to be a city of joy. And that goes to your families. It goes to this community. It goes to your walk with God. Amen. It is God's will that we be and that we see cities of joy. Everything about it began to click. Everything about it fell in place. We realized that what we were doing was in line with what God had ordained for us that day. I did not come all this way just to tell stories about far off lands and to build your faith today. Amen. I praise God for all he did in Bangladesh and those other nations. But I'm here today to say that today is the day of salvation. Today is a day, amen, where there can be great joy in this city. Amen. We have come to let this congregation of apostolic believers know, amen, that just as Philip walked in Samaria, amen, and preach the only things that would change Samaria, that we too can also walk in our cities and preach the same life-changing message. And that message today is just Jesus. It's just Jesus. To the Muslims, he's a prophet. To the Hindus, he's a holy man. To the atheist, he's not real, but to the apostolic church here today, he still is the King of Kings, and he still is the Lord of Lords, amen. He's still sitting on the throne, and he is alive, and he is moving, whether it's in Access Challenge Nations, or whether it is in the amazing nation of Bangladesh. I've come to tell this church that God is wanting to move here today if we would only have the audacity to believe him. For his word. I wonder if there's anybody here today that agrees with me today. Oh, come on, brother and sister. I know some things look dark. I know some things look grim. I know the picture doesn't look like what we wanted. I know you may not be feeling goosebumps or what you want to feel, but that doesn't change the fact that God wants great joy in our city. And in our families, and in with your walk with God, amen. If you believe that today, come on, the Holy Ghost is already moving. If you believe that, I invite you to this front, amen. I invite you that you would come, and that you would look at every doubt, and every fear, and every devil, and say, that's all right. You do what you want, but today is going to be a day of great joy in my city and in my life.